want to say good morning.
Good morning.
All right. To those of you who are with us, and good morning to those of you that are with us streaming this morning. I just have a question for you. It's not the only question that I will ask during the sermon, but this is a really important one, okay? Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Oh, just yes. Do it with a little bit more excitement, okay? Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me again, please? That's always so much fun. And we are going to repeat our Bible declaration. And if you would do so with us, take your Bible, hold it up to heaven. All right, are you ready?
Ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
You know why we say let's go at the end, right?
Yep.
Well, just in case you don't know, it's because we're not stopping, we're just beginning.
Amen.
Amen? Amen, okay, here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, okay, let's go. Amen, let's go. You can be seated. You can be seated. I don't know about you, but I'm excited this morning. Yeah, I am. Today, we're going to start what I think is going to be a two-part mini-series. I call it that because every time I have a series that ends up being like 10 parts or something. But I think this one's only going to be two, okay? And the title of it is called The Wonder of the Word, okay? The Wonder of the Word.
Amen.
Get this. This installment is called Part one. All right? Part one. All right. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we will read verse 16 and 17. Two verses. This is a very powerful scripture, okay, but many believers, I think, really kind of take it for granted because they really don't comprehend in totality what it's really saying to us in its fullness, okay? And I just think it's exciting as we tear this scripture apart. But this one, just like many other scriptures that we read, it just gets read over and filed somewhere. How many of you have a place called somewhere? You've just filed it somewhere. Yeah. Are you at 2 Timothy chapter 3? All right. Verse 16. All scripture. How many? How much? How much? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God and the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every, how many, how much?
Every.
How much?
Every
good work. That means that the Bible answers all your questions. Come on. That means the Bible will provide for all of your problems. Come on, let me hear it this morning. That means that the Bible is just what you need. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I got a few questions for you to think about this morning as we get going. Number one, does God's Word have the say-so in your life? Or is the Bible just a book you carry to church and open only when you hear the pastor say, open your Bibles too? All right, think about that just for a minute. Does the Word of God have a say-so in your life? Number two, how much time would you say that you spend reading your Bible in a given week? Don't tell me, tell yourself. All right, how much time do you think you really spend dedicated to reading and more than reading, really, reading and studying the Word of God in a week? Question three. Can you think of a time in your life when you literally felt the power of God's Word flow into you? Come on. And energize you to deal with a situation that you were facing? In other words, have you ever read a scripture that just happened to speak to right where you were? Amen? I think it's awesome the way the Holy Spirit does that. You could open your Bible and not want to read, not want to even look at any more scripture, and he can speak right straight to your heart, right exactly what you're going through. Amen. Amen. All right. Gary Timmer, seeing that you look real busy, would you come up and pray, please, for the message? See, I have to get joy out of things on Sunday morning. Wait till somebody's really into their notes and then say, Gary, would you come?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that today's message, God, thank and you, this Lord. Series Jesus. Is going to be life-changing. Father, I thank you that you are speaking into our hearts, God. You're speaking into our minds. Father, and I thank you that you, God, are prompting change in us. I thank you that we will listen, God, that we will run to you, Father, and again, that we will be changed. We thank you for Pastor West, God. We thank you that he is open to hear you and do what you want him to do, God. And I thank you that today that he will be able to speak this word with all boldness and confidence. And again, God, I thank you for changing our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. I have another question for you, although I think I know the answer to it before I even ask you. Would it be of interest to you if I said that you could get plugged into a power source, if you will, that would permeate you with all kinds of power? Would you like that?
Amen.
One thing, a power source that is that would bring wisdom to help you in overcoming any challenge that comes up against you. Come on. A proven source of power that will never, ever, ever fail you. How about now? All right. Of course you would. I mean, you'd have to be crazy to say no to that. Who wouldn't want that? The amazing thing is that you already have it at your fingertips. The power source is probably sitting right there on your shelf, okay? Or sitting nicely on your kitchen table. Or maybe it's even kept in a magazine rack that sits next to your favorite chair. Or maybe you keep it in your desk drawer. Or it's sitting on the back seat of your car or gathering dust in your rear window deck of your car. And today, it might just, I say might because it isn't always, it might just be sitting in your pew next to you. Amen? And I you know, you probably already guessed what I'm talking about is your Bible. Because the Bible is one of the believer's greatest resources. Amen? I don't care if you've read it once. I used to laugh because there was a gentleman that came into my office and we started talking about reading the Word and I was trying to assess where he was at in his spiritual walk. And I said, do you read the Bible? And he said, oh, I've read that already. Wow. You must have remembered more of it than I do, you know. But that's kind of the psyche that many have, all right? I've read that already. But the Bible supplies the power for what is needed to be an overcomer. Amen? Come on. And when you learn how to tap into the Word of God and let its power flow into us and through us, it's going to equip you and I with wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. I think I want wisdom and knowledge, okay? To overcome every adversity in every situation that's in life. Do you think the Bible is able to do that? Hello? Amen. Amen. All right. The example I want to use this morning to prove this is Timothy, young Timothy, okay? The pastor at Ephesus. When Timothy felt attacked and like everything was coming at him from every side, you ever felt like that? And you just like you couldn't take anymore. Because of the difficult situations, that he was facing as the pastor of Ephesus, what he did was this, okay? He wrote a letter to Paul, his spiritual father, his mentor, all right? Hoping to get some answers to his many troubles. He was hoping to receive a letter in return giving counsel to him and sound advice from Paul. And he did. He received a letter that contained these precious and powerful words, okay? In Timothy's letter to Paul, actually, okay? Or Paul's letter to Timothy, excuse me. Paul said this, listen, Timothy, okay? Listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Everything that you need, Timothy, is right in here. That the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know about you this morning, but I like the idea of being thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? Because there seems to be no shortages of what God wants me to do, and I'm sure there's no shortages of what God wants you to do if you just listen for what he's saying. Amen? Okay. So today I'd like to begin looking into this very important scripture. And I would like to examine it and try to discover just what it's saying to us today. We know what it was saying to Timothy. Well, what's it saying to you and I? That's important. So let's start with a statement that starts verse 16. And it says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. How many? How much scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We're going to begin with the word inspiration because that word is actually, it becomes a key word for you and I in understanding what Paul was saying, okay? Inspiration is translated from the Greek word. Now, you might think I'm crazy, but therunoustos. Therunoustos. I've said it once, so you know I can say it, okay? Anyway, it's translated from that word. It's a compound word made up of the words theos and pneuma. Theos is the Greek word for God, okay? That's easy enough to figure out, okay? But the real secret to the power that's found in this word is found in the second half of the word, which is the word pneuma, and it comes from the Greek root word pneu, P-N-E-U, okay? The root pneu communicates to you and I the idea of dynamic air movement, all right? Dynamic air movement. For instance, it can mean to blow or to blow air or to blow air through a musical instrument to produce a certain musical sound. There are also places where this word is translated to breathe or to emit a fragrance. In addition, this root word can be used to denote the projection of emotions. It's quite a word. All right, such as emotions such as courage, okay, or emotions such as goodwill, or even the emotion of anger. But when the root new becomes pneuma, as it does in this verse, it carries a more profound range of meanings, including this, okay, and I really want you to hear and understand this. It includes life, it includes a force, it's a life force, it includes energy and enthusiasm and power. The Jews considered the pneuma to be the powerful force that God created the universe and all living things with, and the force that continues to sustain, creation today. They believe that. In the Old Testament, the pneuma of God would sometimes move mightily upon a person, enabling them to do supernatural things, okay? The pneuma of God would come upon them, and they would be able to do supernatural things. When this word pneuma is put together with the word theos, it forms the word therunoustos, all right? Stas, actually. And it's where we get the word inspiration. And I know this is a lot of words, but I want this, is such a neat word, okay? Together, these words literally mean God breathed, okay? They literally mean God breathed. The word inspiration is the picture of God breathing or emitting his own substance into something. Okay? Just as a musician would blow an instrument to produce a certain sound, so God mightily moved on those who wrote the scriptures, so they temporarily became the instrument through which God expressed his heart and will. Are you with me this morning? Are you following me? The men were writers, okay? But God was the great musician who breathed upon them. So the Bible, and I know that you know this, is God's message delivered through human writers to you and I. Now, this is where it gets really good, okay? And I want you to know one thing today. This isn't a long message. It's almost like I don't want to say too much and confuse you with the facts. You know what I mean? Because it gets to be too much. But just as the word pneuma can carry the idea of fragrance, the written word was breathed out from God, and thus it carries his very essence and fragrance within it. Amen? And since the word pneuma can also portray the projection of emotions, this tells us that God projected the totality of his emotions into the written word also when he inspired its writings. Therefore, the word of God not only conveys God's intellectual message to you and I, but it contains God's heart for you and I as well. I mean, that's all resident within the word of God, within that Bible that sits on your shelf, within that Bible that you may have thrown in your back seat. So what am I saying? That it's important for us to understand that the pneuma of God, or the inspiration of God, didn't just create the word of God and then depart from it, okay? The power, the same pneuma power, that originally created and continues to sustain the universe is still, say still, is still working inside the written word. Oh, it just gets better, okay? Let me give you this very simple example, okay? Very simple example of the word, here we go again, therunustos, okay? I've given this illustration before in another sermon, but it gets the point across really, really well. So if you recognize it, just realize that you forgot about it, okay? If I hold this deflated balloon that is without form up to my lips, okay, and breathe into it, the balloon will inflate. Amen? Okay. And the blowing of my breath into this deflated little piece of rubber causes it to fill up, so that its true form becomes visible. Are you with me? When the balloon is fully inflated, I tie a knot at the base to trap the air within. In fact, let me do that right now, okay? I'm not that old, come on. All right, I'm tying a knot. I tied a knot. Now the air that filled up the balloon and caused it to take form, now listen, is the same substance that empowers it to sustain its form. Are you with me? My breath, okay? It was my breath that created its form, and it is my breath that now sustains its form. Some of you are looking at me kind of funny. And if the molecules inside of the balloon were analyzed, it would be found that a part of me is held inside in the form of the air I breathed into it. Now let's move from the balloon to the Bible, okay? When God was ready to speak to man, he held up human language to his mouth and breathed into it. Are you following me? After breathing his pneuma power into the language to produce life-giving words, God moved upon the hearts of those he had called to write his book, and men began to write under his divine inspiration. As God continued to breathe on the words and phrases and sentences, his word began to take form and to take shape, until finally it had become the Bible as you and I know it today. I just love this. Today, the same, say same.
The same.
Today, the same breath of God that caused the Word of God to materialize in written form is now held inside the same Word of God. It was God's own breath that caused this Word to manifest in the first place, and now it's his own presence, his own breath, and his own molecules, if you will, that are permanently held inside the Word of God. Now, this is exciting, man. In other words, God didn't just inspire the writing of the Bible. God himself, say God himself, his heart, his life force, his essence and power, his energy and vitality are contained inside the Word. Think about it. The Bible that you own, all right, I don't care what version it is, the Bible that you own that could be sitting on a shelf or stored away in your desk drawer, maybe it's sitting on the back seat or in the rear deck of your car window and situated very nicely on your coffee table or sitting in the nightstand next to your bed. That Bible contains the very life, the very essence, the very energy, and the very vitality of God himself. Glory be to God. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Give him praise this morning. And please hear me this morning, okay? If you'll get hungry enough for more of God, how many know that we Christians kind of ebb and flow? You know, there's times when we're there. We're reading the Bible every day, and we're praying every day, and boy, we're spiritual. And then there's times when we ebb, and we just don't get to it. Yeah, yeah. But if you'll get hungry enough, how many want to be hungry this morning? I know I do. What's so cool is God rewards your hunger with more hunger. Amen? If you start partaking of the Word, he just gives you more hunger for that Word. You don't get satisfied, if you will. All right? You get more and more hunger to go in there and to dig deep and to find out what God is saying. Anyway, if you'll get hungry enough for more of God and determined to meditate on his truth long enough to tap into it, God himself will come pouring out of the Bible and into your life situations, and he will change them. Amen? How many of you have ever read the Word of God and found, again, those things in there that are speaking to what you're going through today? And it was written 2,000 years ago. That's because the Word is alive, and God is still in the Word. Amen? Amen. And you should be getting ready to shout this morning. The pneuma, all right, held inside the Word will blow its breath mightily upon you and upon the situations that surround you. And when that happens, when God gets involved, everything changes. Come on, you got to know what I'm talking about. When you get God involved in your life, when you get God's Word involved in your life, everything changes. When you get saved, what do you start doing? You start reading the Bible, and you know what happens? Everything changes. When you start understanding that God really loves you and he's done all that he's done to help you and to preserve you and to provide for you, you know what? That's good stuff, right? That's good stuff. And you get hungrier and hungrier. And again, everything changes. Because of this word that's translated inspiration, 2 Timothy 3:16 could read like this. I'm not changing the word, okay? All scripture came into existence because God himself breathed upon men, who then wrote as this divine breath moved upon them, and thus the word took shape and came into existence. It took shape and came into existence. I think we think it's a history book. In fact, I've said it before. Oh, it's a history book of the redemption of man. God is contained within those pages. Now, I'm not trying to box God in. I mean, come on, I'm just trying to think of every argument that you might have with me. These are the words that were used. When you take them apart and when you analyze what God is really saying, what the Holy Spirit is really saying is, don't take your Bible and throw it on the shelf. Your Bible is what you need. Come on. The Word of God is what you need to consume. The Word of God is what needs to be coming out of your mouth. Amen? Amen. Amen. The supernatural breath and life of God that's held within his written word is the reason why Paul went on to say that the word is profitable. It's profitable. The word profitable is the Greek word ophelios, and it means helpful, profitable, useful, beneficial, or something that is to one's advantage. This is to my advantage. Is it to your advantage? Yeah, this to our advantage. All right. Paul goes on to list all the ways that God's word brings benefit to the one who reads it, who meditates on it, that taps into its pneuma, if you will. So then, when Paul wrote to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, he was reminding him that because he had the word, he possessed the greatest source of power and energy that exists. Amen. And if he could get into the scrolls, the scriptures, the word, tapping deeply into its internal resources. And I want you to know this morning, the word of God is great, but there's nothing like tapping into its internal resources. There's nothing like researching words. There's nothing like coming to church on a Sunday morning and finding out what is really being said. God has a word, you know, he has his word, the verses that are said to us, and they're valid and they're good, and then there's deeper meanings. And if all you got to do is just look into it, and you can find those deeper meanings, and that can make a difference in your life. All right. But he was letting Timothy know and reminding him that he had some of the greatest power on earth. And if he would get into the word and into its internal resources and allow the life of God that is in the word to flow up and out and into his life, enough power could be released to change every difficult situation that Timothy was facing. Do you believe that this morning? If you will look into the word of God, if you will take the word of God at face value, if you would take the word of God and tear it apart and see what it says deeper inside, do you believe that that's profitable to you? Once we understand, the translation of the word we translate as inspiration, then we realize that the Bible is not just a book about God, it's a book that actually contains God. That's powerful, people. That's powerful. God's own breath and God's own spirit are contained within it. And that in itself is a really good reason why you should spend time studying and meditating on God's word. Because then you'll learn to unlock the power that's contained within it. That's why I tell you all the time that you should memorize it. So that you have it. When things come up, you know what to rebuke the devil, you know what to say to him. You can say, "It is written, devil." And when you've unlocked that door, all right, the power of God will come pouring into your life and into the situations that you are facing. The Bible is a power source that will allow extraordinary energy to enter you and cause a supernatural strength to flow out of you. You know what your job is? To consume it and to believe it. How many of you believe every word that's written in here? Amen? Every word. Like you don't want to just take one page and rip it out and throw it away because that's kind of hard to live by. Every word. It's almost like I'll use this as an example. If you were in a battle and the only weapon you had was this, and this was the weapon that was going to conquer the enemy that was coming against you, I bet you would just devour this. Guess what? That is what it is. Because we fight a battle. We fight a very real battle, a very real battle of spiritual warfare. And you can yell and scream and do whatever you want to do, but until you start speaking the word of God, come on, people, until you start speaking the word of God, you're speaking nothing. Amen? So I want to encourage you. And I've said this before. If one thing has made a difference in my life, in my Christian life, that's that God, thank God, has given me just a hunger for the word. And as I try to fill that hunger, I get hungrier and hungrier. Do I have times when I don't feel like reading? Yeah. But the truth is, he will fill you with a hunger. that will eventually give you victory. What's in between the eventually and it really happened? Faith. Well, how can you explain faith? Just like that. Faith is the in-between. Between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. Amen? Amen. Why don't you close your eyes a moment, please? Stand with me if you would. You can wait till you've stood and then you can close your eyes. I want you just to take a moment and just rethink those questions that I asked you at the beginning of the sermon. And I'll once again tell you what they were. Does the Word of God have a say-so in your life? Or is the Bible just a book you carry to church and open only when you hear the pastor say, open your Bibles too? How much time would you say that you spend reading your Bible in a given week? And the third one, just can you think of a time in your life when you literally felt the power of God's Word flow into you and energize you and encourage you to deal with the situation that you were facing? And now just think about those questions just for a moment. Think, and I would like to have you ask yourself another question, and that's, could I, in my life, is there room for improvement concerning my reading of the Word of God? And if there's some room for improvement, why don't you raise your hand? Yeah, you know, you could read it more. You could delve into it more. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I know just about everyone, thank God, raised their hand. That's great. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. And because it was everyone, just about everyone, could you move forward up to the altar here? And, you know, I'll pray over you, or I'll have someone pray over you. And you know, and I'll join you in making a commitment and in saying, God, I want more hunger. I want to make the Word not just a part of my life, I want to make the Word my life. Because I know that if that happens, I'll live abundant life. You know why? Because you're inside the Word. Because you're inside the Word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, you see this. And God, I pray that you would just put in each person's heart, in their spirit, in their mind, anywhere, God, just a hunger that is more than what they've had for your Word. God, I pray that they would make a commitment each day to put your Word first. And God, I know, I believe in prayer, so God, I know that when we pray for these things, I know that you give them. You give them. But Lord, this week, starting this week, every person that's responded to this call, Father, I pray that they would begin to have such a hunger for your Word, that they would see that you live inside your Word, that they would see that it contains your heart and your emotions, God, that it contains who you are, Lord. I pray that would all happen this week and that it would just be just a wonderful explosion of truth. And I pray that, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.